Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Florida legislature is examining some of Disney's special legal privileges that they enjoy in that state. What did Disney do to warrant this kind of scrutiny? And is this action by the Florida legislature retaliation, or is it an infringement on Disney, the corporation's right to free speech? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about Disney, Florida, and the culture war, Joy Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Yanking Privileges for Disney Isn't Revenge or an Attack on Free Speech, It's the Least Florida Can Do. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
What did the Disney company do that led the Florida legislature to reexamine Disney's legal privileges there in the state?
Well, it basically made it known very prominently, basically in the same way that, you know, many, many other major companies have been doing since 2015, when it all really started here in Indiana, when, as folks may remember, in that year, our legislature tried to pass the same kind of religious liberty protection bill that is on the books in, you know, several dozen states and at the federal level. And what happened that was a watershed moment here was the corporate, big corporate really weighed in on that and pulled all of its strings with all of the state legislators and the governor, that especially in, you know, the Republican Party, big donors to the Republican Party. So, and that also, you know, I guess Disney was trying to, again, in Florida, run this same play that has been, you know, happening, and states have typically been rolling over year after year after year since Mike Pence in Indiana in 2015 really showed that Republicans were weak against big corporate on social issues. So Florida was moving through its legislature a governor-supported bill, which is now law, that essentially it just banned in public schools in grades K through third. So we're talking about 8-year-olds and younger, teachers talking about sexual topics with children in class. So that's a pretty anodyne bill. It's called an anti-grooming bill by its proponents. And so Disney came out very publicly trying to put their very large, big, fat thumb on the scale against that bill that is now law in Florida. And of course, as with every saga, there's lots of details. But the long and short of it is, very publicly, Florida's legislature stood up and led by the governor, Ron DeSantis, there and said, look, you know, we don't think that a large corporation outweigh all the voters in this state and, you know, their interest in what's best for kids, you know, so we don't really care what they think. We're passing this law, so which they proceeded to do. And Disney continued to basically threaten the state with various things, you know, pulling business out, like, again, other big ones have done as part of these political battles. So, for example, you know, recently in Georgia, Major League Baseball, you know, said we're going to pull major, you know, games from your state if you pass election integrity issues. You know, so Disney was, you know, kept running this play. And then so the Florida's legislature and governor then said, hey, look, you know, you have special privileges accorded to you by the state legally. So basically, Disney gets kind of a special arrangement for where Walt Disney World, for running kind of the local zoning and other business entities around where Walt Disney World is located. They're almost basically granted, you know, local government status as a special grant by the state for that. So the lawmaker said, look, you know, if you are really going to support the mutilation of children, teachers lying to children about the, you know, about with crazy ideas, you know, like cutting off their God-given body parts when they're 6 years old, you know, that's such a threat to public welfare that we don't really think, you know, you maybe deserve these privileges that the state gives you economically. So that's kind of, you know, where we are now. And there's been kind of this debate about whether that was an appropriate step by Florida's legislature and governor to respond to Disney in that way. And my argument is that it absolutely is. And it's kind of the least that they should do to protect children from people who want to mutilate them and make their all for life.
Talk about the split reaction from social conservatives to Florida's action here.
Right. I almost got to kind of that part, and that's kind of where we are now, where, you know, you have a number of people who are, you know, political commentators on the right, which is also what I am. A pair of gentlemen over at National Review, Charles Cook, as well as their managing editor, Jason Lee, I think it's Storz. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. There's two vowels in the middle there. But they basically said it's okay for Disney to pass this anti-grooming and sexual manipulation law, but Disney shouldn't have gone that further step of reconsidering whether Disney deserves special legal privileges in the state. They said that was punishing Disney for using its free speech. And the same was true of, you know, other folks. It was kind of, you know, a debate on social media, Twitter, as well as the various blogs. They thought that was, you know, I mean, there were really some kind of strong words used by both those gentlemen at NRO, as well as Ellis, who has been previously, I believe, Trump's personal private lawyer. She's, you know, also now got her own kind of political punditry going on. I mean, and I know her, you know, we've talked, she's a great lady. I just disagree with them. So they were, you know, arguing. You know, Disney basically is freely licensed to say whatever it wants, even to the point of advocating the mutilation of children, and that it's wrong for state government to, you know, respond to that basically breach of, you know, the social contract, of that straight up attack on the most defenseless among us in some of the most horrible ways. There should be no defense against, you know, against that sort of misuse of their speech and their power by the state legislature. And I disagreed with that.
How do you respond to those who say that revoking Disney's privileges there in Florida would be retaliation against Disney's right to free speech and amounts to using the left's tactics?
I mean, I think that's just flatly ridiculous. You know, so of course Disney has a right to free speech. No one disputes that. But also Disney's free speech is in no way fettered right now. You know, no one has banned them from talking, from printing, from publishing anything they want on. They have major global communications networks. You know, they own ABC. they are financially intertwined with internet and cable companies that have a global reach. Nobody is saying, oh, you know, we'll take down their satellites. We'll stop them from broadcasting on the internet. None of that is happening. The only thing that's at stake here is, you know, should we remove some relatively mild legal privileges and economic privileges that they get from the state of Florida, from Florida's taxpayers, basically, you know, on condition of good behavior, which they're not demonstrating anymore. It's not good behavior to argue for chopping children's bodies apart, and that, you know, teachers should be urging children to do that and proclaiming it as good to six-year-olds in publicly funded classrooms. So there's not only absolutely no restriction on Disney's speech being applied here. We're only talking about, again, something that is not a natural right. Nobody, not you, not me, not Disney, has the right to unfettered public funding and preferential laws. And it's absolutely within Florida's rights, and not only its rights, but I would say its duties, to reconsider whether a company that's shown that it is active common good of the most defenseless, you know, I don't think that a company like that should be receiving public subsidies. That should be an easy, obvious argument for basically anybody. But unfortunately, it really wasn't.
You say that Florida's action is, you call it a reorientation of the right's political power to serve the right's voters and values. What do you mean by that?
I mean, I mean by that it's very clear that for a very long time, you know, Christians and other social conservatives, as part of the political coalition of the right, often represented typically badly by the Republican Party. You know, we have been voting for their candidates for decades and getting almost nothing out of it, if not basically losing ground in all the issues that we care about most. You know, so if you just talk about something that ought to be as easy and obvious as abortion, which is barely even a social conservative issue, it's a broadly, you know, the majorities of Americans, many who are Democrats who call themselves liberals, want very tight restrictions on abortion. The United States is, abortion regime is in line with, you know, insane dictatorships like communist China and communist North Korea, that we allow macabre, disgusting taking of human life up to, you know, many, many months after a child can survive completely fine outside of his mother's womb. You know, so anyway, so I mean, even on the abortion issue, it's still now 50 years after Roe versus Wade. We're supposed to have a Supreme Court, and it's still a question of whether a so-called conservative Supreme Court will be, you know, affirming, you know, overturning or in any way curtailing Roe versus Wade as it's reconsidering it right now. We've had 50 years of Republican president-appointed Supreme Court justices somewhere continuing to affirm completely unconstitutionally and against all understandings of basic human rights that it's okay, you know, and legal and just in this country to, I mean, parents, hide your kids' ears. You know, I guess I don't have to describe abortion, but we all know how horrifying it is, right? So it's easy for, as well as not just abortion, but on this issue of literal child mutilation, we can't even get lawmakers to stop murder and mutilation of children in this country. And that should be, you know, a baseline, you know, that should be under accepted easily. That shouldn't even be a debate in this country, but it is. And that's how bad things are in this country and how poorly represented are any moral sense whatsoever by any political party anywhere. So all of that is basically underlying these sorts of turf war debates over whether the people that, you know, the elected officials that are elected with a mandate to not allow child mutilation and murder actually do anything about these atrocities. And so that's kind of what this sort of talk about Florida's, you know, art war with Disney is really about, whether Republican voters have any right to expect that their elected officials will use the power granted to them by winning elections and winning the mandate of the people to actually uphold justice in this country.
We're talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about Disney, Florida, and the culture war. On the other side, what's the most important value at stake in this circumstance? When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is A Walk Through the Old Testament, a brief introduction to and insight into where Christ is found in each of the Old Testament books. The book is called The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Messiah, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April. We're talking with Joy Pullman. She's executive editor of The Federalist about Disney, Florida, and the culture war. So, Joy, what is the most important value at stake in this situation with Disney in Florida?
The most important value, both with this, you know, Disney question as well as the abortion issue, is human life, right? You cannot speak freely if you are not allowed to live. You can't, if you're a child who is being psychologically damaged by the people entrusted to care for you, your ability to think rationally and participate in public debates is being stolen away from you before into that. So my argument is that if we're talking in terms of human rights, in terms of constitutional and natural rights, sometimes those may come into conflict. And so even if we are thinking that, you know, which I do, I absolutely support free speech and the First Amendment 100%. But, you know, the founders of America who wrote the First Amendment would never have agreed that that protection for free speech would extend to open advocacy and forced public subsidization of child mutilization. It's a philosophical and an intellectual utter depravity, really, to sit here and use the idea of free speech as a fig leaf to require that nothing be done to protect children in danger of being mutilated by the state.
You say that it is not Florida that broke its deal with Disney, but Disney that broke its deal with Florida. How so?
Well, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, so Disney receives economic and legal privileges from the people of Florida through their representatives by having kind of these special tax and local government statuses around Disney World and so forth. You know, everyone's aware, you know, is used to corporate subsidies, giving tax breaks to big companies to relocate to areas and so forth. And when these sorts of deals are made between companies and, you know, local state officials, the deal basically is, you know, that the people through their representatives agree to give some typically economic, but sometimes some other kinds of special benefits. Basically, you know, special privileges, subsidies that are not given to other companies, to other individuals or actors in exchange for, you know, what the people's representatives think is more important. So they don't just, you know, hand away the, well, sometimes they do, right? But the idea is not that they would just willy-nilly give away public money to private actors. They are supposed to be, and they argue to us, right, that we're getting something as a people in exchange for that. So usually we hear, oh, well, we're giving this corporation a tax break to relocate because they're going to provide us a bunch of jobs, right? So it's pretty obvious, you know, providing ways for people to support themselves is a benefit, you know, to the people in the community. So Disney, you know, agreed to provide goods to the people of Florida to contribute to the public good in order to get special privileges from the taxpayers. That was the deal they made to kind of have this arrangement that they have in Florida. And obviously, you know, Disney is not contributing to the public good if they are using their power, their wealth, their special status in Florida to urge for, you know, openly for the mutilation of children. So at the point at which they are not upholding their deal to contribute more to the common good than they are taking away from it, it is absolutely not only within the rights of the lawmakers of Florida, but also it's their duty to see that that arrangement be right-sized.
Is any corporation appointed to speak for anyone, including its employees, politically?
I mean, no. I mean, so that's what the another, you know, interesting thing about this idea. If you even, you know, so grant that Disney has free speech or you know, or as a company or you know, basically that the idea that its CEO and executives speak on the company's behalf. Okay. But I mean, Disney is a massive, like I mentioned, mega global company with, you know, many, many business connections. I mean, I don't know how many employees they have, but, you know, we're talking tens of thousands, if not possibly hundreds of thousands of employees, people who work for Disney all across the globe. So everyone understands that there's no way that Disney can claim to speak for all of those tens of thousands of employees, let alone its hundreds of thousands, millions of customers, right? The people that Disney provides entertainment to have many, many different political views. And just because Disney provides people I would argue, not such great entertainment. It may have high production value, but it has low moral value. But we can talk about that another time. But Disney, you know, cannot grab to itself people's right to speak for themselves in the public square. So Disney's coming to this debate and saying, basically presenting itself as the representative of all these tens of thousands, possibly millions of employees and customers. But that's ridiculous. You know, when I watch a Disney movie, that doesn't mean that Disney now has the right to tell my elected officials what I think. I will tell my elected officials what I think. You know, so Disney has the same amount of free speech, no more and no less, than every single other person who is an American citizen who has elected representatives. So, you know, Disney's kind of employing a sleight of hand here with, you know, these arguments about free speech, or its attempt to kind of wade into this public debate. It's way, way too big for its britches. It's trying to grab power that it doesn't deserve. The people of Florida, as well as the people of America, if you look at opinion polls, as well as just the fact that the elected representatives in Florida are not doing what Disney wants. You know, the people of Florida and America do not agree with Disney's stance on this issue. Disney doesn't represent us either in any sort of polling sense or any sort of like economic or political sense. You know, my individual rights belong to me. They're individual, they're not collective, and they're certainly not controlled by, you know, private corporations.
Finally, with about a minute here, how will social conservatives achieve, well, relative peace in the culture war through strength?
Just the same way that we talk about the best defense is a good offense, if we want to actually legitimately protect the rights of children who, you know, who are being murdered and mutilated or attempted to be mutilated by all these people, we can't just sit there and pretend that we have no political weapons available to us. We absolutely do. And our elected representatives must be expected and held accountable to fight for the rights of children and the justice that is due to all of us as people in America with natural and human rights. So we are not going to achieve peace against the kind of people who call it justice to murder and mutilate children if we are unwilling to punish them for their acts of aggression against innocent, defenseless children's rights. So it's the least that any lawmaker can do to make sure that any corporation or individual who advocates for, again, we're talking about murder and mutilation of children. Anyone who advocates for that should not be, at the very least, publicly subsidized or receive any benefit from the people of any state, not just Florida.
Joy Pullman is executive editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, Yanking Privileges for Disney Isn't Revenge or an Attack on Free Speech. It's the least Florida can do. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series responding to Roman Catholic proof text, talking with Dr. Stephen Parks about Matthew 19:12, 1 Corinthians 7, and priestly celibacy. And on Friday, we'll get a review of the movie Father Stew from Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God. in his ways.